For all you guys that don't know me, I'm Frankie. I'm Pastor Frank's son, and Teresa's son. If I say anything wrong, don't hold it against them. It's not them. they did their job. It's okay. I'm going to give you guys a recap real quick on what's been going on, because I haven't been in church for like a year-ish. Been off. Yeah, pretty much just doing my thing. And so recently, left church on a bad note with some people, did some stupid things, typical Frankie fashion. And then this last, 3 months-ish have been kind of eye-opening for me. Like, my buddy John back there, I subjected him to a month and a half of torture. He was stupid enough to call me one day and say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I said, "Pack your backpack with some clothes." And he said, "Where are we going?" And I said, "Just pack your backpack, come over to my house." And I was like, "We're going to go on a little adventure." And so he said, okay, being the good friend that he is. So we got in the car, and we drove for 23 hours all the way through Oregon, into Idaho, all the way through Idaho, back into Utah, all the way through the godforsaken state of Utah. I'm sorry if anybody's from there. I can't stand it. Through the tip of Arizona, into Nevada, and finally to Las Vegas. And what was supposed to be, a week and a half? Yeah, like a weekish. Turned into a month and a half long excursion through Las Vegas, which entitled me joining the Army, me leaving the Army, us applying at probably every fast food place you could ever try to find, meeting the coolest person of my life ever. His name's Sergeant Haley. If you ever go to Vegas, look him up. Really cool guy. And so, for a month, I was just kind of flapping around, not really doing anything, just kind of spending money. And just to put it in perspective, I spent $4,800 in Vegas in a month. We wasted over 22 tanks of gas. And in the last 2 weeks, I'm pretty sure we paid the utility bills at Applebee's with all the food that we bought. And finally, we decided, we kind of looked at each other, and we were tired. And we said, you know what, it's time to come back home. So we got in the car and made a pit stop in Los Angeles, of course. And then felt the need to drive from Los Angeles to Portland on 3-4 hours of sleep. But not in the typical fashion that everyone else would on I-5. We decided, let's take the 101. And it was the worst adventure of my life. And you know, you drive the 101, and then you run into construction at 2 a.m. You get lost in San Francisco for 2 hours trying to find where you're going and everything. And, you know, just started meandering our way back towards Portland. Then decided, you know, we're going to take this back road to throw us back on the I-5, which was the biggest mistake of our life, because it was this little trucking road that connects the 101 to Grants Pass. And driving that at 3 in the morning when you don't have any energy, your cell phones are dead, you have no form of communication with anyone, the lanes are about this big, I'm not even kidding you, they're like bike lanes. And when you're in a Chevy Malibu that's bigger than that, and there's bigger semis than you are, and they're coming head on at you, it's I don't even know how to describe it. It was not fun. And so anyways, we did that, got back into Portland. Everything was good and everything. I was happy. And sat down a couple days ago, and I started calculating everything. And I sat down, and I was just wow, we spent over $5,300 on this month and a half trip. The only reason I told you that is because this is probably going to be the most expensive testimony you've ever heard. But anyways, yesterday I decided to go surfing because you probably read in the bulletin, the sermon's called The 11th Hour. And that's because I still don't even know what I'm going to talk about yet. Kind of waiting for that divine inspiration. And so anyways, we're just going to have a little powwow for a few minutes. And so I was sitting there, buddy called me up, he's from Los Angeles, I need some water. And he's like, "Hey man," he's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, And I was like, same thing I do every day in Salem. I was like, sit there and play NBA Live or do nothing. And so he's like, you want to go surfing with me? And I was like, yeah, because we were supposed to go surfing on Friday, but the place where we were supposed to go was just way overcrowded and nobody wanted to go out there and do it. So that's refreshing. So we went to the beach yesterday. We went to an Indian, what's it called? Yeah, Indian Beach. And so we paddled out there, and it was just amazing. The water was actually, like, warm for Oregon a little bit, if that even makes sense. And paddled out there. It was just an amazing day and everything. And I was sitting out there, and my buddy looked at me, and he's like, what are you going to preach on? And I looked over at him, and he's like, you don't even know yet, do you? And I was like, I have no clue what I'm going to preach on, you know? But I noticed something while I was sitting in the ocean. I was sitting there, and I was like, I was looking at all the people on the beach that were looking out at us. Like, I'm pretty sure they were probably thinking, look at those two little idiots out there thinking they're going to surf the Oregon coast and everything. And we sat out there. We probably waited for waves for 2.5 hours just sitting there kicking in the water. There was really nothing to do. And it's then, like, it was right after I caught a wave, a rock caught my board, and I caught the rock. Or the rock caught, I'm not sure, I have a big bruise. I can't show you guys, it's not appropriate though. And honestly, I noticed something. I was like, is when I hit the bottom of the ocean, I started swimming back up to the top. I was sitting there and I was like, the walk with God's kind of like surfing. And I was like, it's the only way I could think of it. So I was like, okay. I looked at my buddy, and like my buddy, his name's Kevin. He's a, I don't know if you ever heard of the band, it's called The Rocket Summer. He is the Rocket Summer. He's a one-man band, basically. He plays everything, sings everything. And yesterday I looked at him and I was like, hey man, do you think we can go to a studio? And he's like, yeah, for sure. And I was like, I got something I need to say to you. I got something I need to say to God, actually. And he's like, a text message or something can't do it for you. And I was like, no, man. I was like, we're gonna write this out. I was like, you're gonna play the music, and I was like, we're gonna figure out what we're doing, okay? And so we're gonna start off the whole little whatever you want to call this powwow sermon thing with this song, if you can play it. I'm gonna come sit down with you guys.
I just ran into a few someones today. Someones that I never really knew. I used to think how I had them all so figured out, but no, none of it's true, 'cause I never knew you. And now the truth of it is I wanna be like you. So hello, good friend, I wanna be next to you. For my head, for my heart, for what's true. things that I had wrong. So now I'll be on my way to make this claim. I'll make it famous in every way. I'll make it stay when I will say that no, none of it's true.
So that was basically like what I was feeling towards God yesterday when I was trying to figure out what I was going to write about for the sermon. And I don't have any notes, so it's kind of all off the Abdullah Umblagada. I'm going to do this. But yeah, I sat there yesterday, and when we recorded this song, it was just weird how it all fell into place, because he had this instrumental. He had this whole song tracked out, and he just said he made it about 2-3 weeks ago when we started talking. He just felt the need that he had to go in the studio and do this song, but he never had the lyrics for it, and he said he couldn't find lyrics to write to it. He's like, everything I tried writing just wouldn't fit. And like, went to the studio last night and had to be like, I don't know, maybe like 7-8 o'clock-ish. And we sat down, and I think that song came together in like 30 minutes, writing it to the beat and everything like that. And it just came together perfectly. And I sat down and I was just like, start thinking about my life. Like, let me give you guys a recap. I'm gonna run back for like the last 7-8 years of my life. Like, I used to be the happy-go-lucky kid. Everything was all dandy in my little honky-dory world. Like, I was flying high. And then I hit middle school. That was all right. I mean, like, I was always the fat, funny kid, so everybody always loved me. Like, and then I think it was like maybe, let's say 9th grade, freshman year-ish. Started hanging out with the wrong people, ran into some old friends from way back in the day, and started hanging out in North Portland a little bit, and started running with the wrong crew. And for the last, how old was I then? Like 16? The last 3.5 years of my life have been me trying to figure out my life on my own terms against God's will for me. And, like, I can tell you right now, in the last 2 years, I've gone to 14 funerals for my friends. From gang violence, from drive-bys, from homicides, everything. You know? Like, and it's ridiculous. Like, I just got word, I think it was on Monday, that one of my buddies from Los Angeles, D'Avion, was caught in a drive-by on Crenshaw Boulevard, and he lost his life. And so I started thinking, I was like, that's, that had to be like 2.5 weeks ago, because I decided, you know what, I was like, maybe it's time, maybe I'll give in to God. Like, you know, I've tried to do this on my own terms, maybe, I don't know, the world seems appealing. I was like, the whole Christ-like thing, the sandals, the dashikis, it's not my style, you know? And so I sat there and I was like, I went for a jog one night, and I was just running around the track at Western Oregon University, and I was just, and I got that feeling that, like, I had a feeling that there are a million eyes on me. And I was like, well, this is intense. And so my first assumption is I called my roommate, honestly, and I said, well, I was like, I had some cookies before I left. So my first thing is, were they hash cookies? Because, you know, I live with some weird people. And they're college kids. It's just plain and simple. And so I was like, he's like, no, man, those are from my mom. And I was like, I highly doubt Casey Softleaf's mom, Becca, does that. And so I was like, all right, that's cool. So I kept running, and, you know, I was reading a book when I was taking care of my grandparents. It said, A Conversation with God, and it was written by a guy from Seattle, from the Seattle area, that he sat down at a table one day, and he wrote a question to God and said, like, why is life like this? And he says he doesn't know how it happened, but his pen just started moving. And he read it, and it was an answer from what he thought was God. And so he just kept asking questions and kept writing and kept taking in the information with no questions asked, just an open mind and eyes closed, just writing on the paper. And I was reading that, and I was reading the foreword to that book, and it talks about how God, very seldomly does he get on the PA system, and is he like, tension Frankie, you're an idiot and you're a screw-up, you need to change this, you know? Usually he speaks to like emotions, feelings, and sensations. And so I was thinking to myself, well, maybe this is one of those sensations, you know? Maybe this is God trying to communicate with me. And so I took my headphones out, I threw my iPod on the grass, and I said, speak, as if he answers me like that. But I was sitting there, I didn't get an answer, so I was like, whatever. I was like, I really don't care. I was like, if you're not going to listen to me, I was like, I'm not going to listen to you. And so I ran away. I just kept running. It was about probably a mile into my jog. I got to that point where I pushed myself and I physically exerted myself so to such a limit that I felt like I needed to go visit a garbage can. And while I was visiting that garbage can, having a nice conversation with it, there was a little card on the ground. And I was like, all right. And I was like, for all I know, it could be a free burrito from the Express. So I was like, that's lunch right there. So I pick it up. I look at it. And I've never been so shocked in my entire life. It said, what are you running from? And I was like, excuse me? So I turn it over. And it was for a seminar that they were doing at the school and everything like that for summer classes. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I put it in, I don't know why I put it in my pocket, but I kept jogging and everything. I didn't have my headphones in. And like the way Western Oregon is, you got a track right here, and then you got a little road called Stadium Drive, and then you got a building over here, which is like the administration building for the physical education department and like sports psychology and everything. And so I was like, oh, okay, you know, this is cool. And I saw a kid getting shoved around over there by like four or five kids. And they were probably like middle school age, and I was just like, something sparked inside of me and said, hey, put on your cape and go be a superhero. So I moseyed on over there and everything, and I walked over there and I asked kids what was going on. And they were talking about how this kid was, I'm not going to say it in church, but there was some choice language that they had with each other. And I was like, hey, I was like, why don't you guys leave him alone? And after they threatened to do horrible things to me, and I told them, something in my head said, stand up for this kid. Like, stand up for him. And so I was like, so they told me they were going to beat me unconscious, that they were going to do all these things to me horribly wrong and everything. And my only response was, do you promise? And there was an odd silence. And they said, what'd you say, SA? And I was like, do you promise? I was like, my life has been a whole bunch of pick-me-ups just to let me down, bro. I was like, if you're going to do it, I was like, please do it to me. I was like, do not lie to me. And they just kind of gave me this weird look, and I took off my shirt and my glasses, and they're like, why are you taking off your shirt? And I was like, I just bought this shirt. I was like, there is no way that we are going to ruin this. Like, this is the honest to God truth. I'm not even kidding with you. And so, needless to say, one of them looked at me and he said, I think he's retarded. And I told him, I was like, you're probably correct. You know, and like, we started talking, and the guys told me exactly what the problem was with the kid. Apparently, he had talked to the guy's girlfriend, you know, typical machismo BS. Sorry. But, like, I was like, hey, man, I was like, why don't you just come chill with me for a minute? I was like, talk to me for a second, all right? And he's like, and he, of course, he's doing the, dude, I don't need your help. I can take care of myself, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, just come kick it with me for like 5 seconds. And there's a vending machine outside, so I bought him a Coke. And I said, just chat with me for a second. He said, all right. So we started talking. And it was about nothing. We were actually talking about the Blazers. We were talking about how horrible Hedo Turkoglu is for turning down our deal. And about how Paul Millsap might come to Portland. everything. And finally, I was like, I'm going to go back and keep jogging. I was like, whatever, I'll talk to you later if I see you. And he asked me, I started walking away, and he's like, why? Turned around, and I said, great question. I was like, got anything to go along with it? Again, he's like, why do you not do what you're supposed to? I turned around, I looked at him, I was like, excuse me? You do not know Frankie Anthony Clor. I was like, you do not know who I am. And he's like, no, man. He's like, why are you running? He's like, I saw you out on that track, bro. You started out at a nice little jog. He's like, then you went, and he's like, I think you puked. And I was like, yeah, I did. And he's like, and then you just took off running three times as hard with, and he's like, you could tell that you were angry. And I was like, first of all, in my head, I'm like, I'm not going to open up to this little dork. I was like, no, I do not talk about my emotions. I was like, I'm horrible like that. And so I was like, all right. So I decided something in my head said, give this kid 5 seconds of your time. So I said, speak. I was like, you got 10 seconds, man. I was like, lay it out there. He's like, why are you running from God? And I was like, what? And he's like, you're running from God, man. And I was like, no. I was like, you're mistaken. I was like, that Dr. Pepper's hitting the wrong taste buds and everything. And he's like, no, man. He's like, you're a pastor, aren't you? And I was like, no. I was like, no, I'm not a pastor. I was like, I'm the farthest thing from a pastor. I was like, check my track record and my history. Like, and he's like, you seem like the kind of guy, he's like, you got some tattoos and stuff. It seems like you've been around and everything. I was like, well, yeah. He's like, have you ever thought that you've spent, he's like, how old are you? This is like a 13-year-old kid talking to me. This is a future Dr. Phil, I swear on it. Like, he's going to be on Primetime Channel 6 in like 3 years, I guarantee. But he looks at me, he's like, how old are you, man? And I was like, I'm 20. He's like, how long have you been running on your own track? I was like, since I was like 14 or 15 years old. And he's like, all right. He's like, look at it like this, man. I was like, it's like, okay. Like, and in my head, I'm thinking this kid knows SpongeBob and school lunches. He does not know about me. And he gave me the most mind-opening thing that anybody has ever said to me. He's like, you spent 6-7 years running on your own track. He's like, doing your own thing. He's like, why don't you open up to God and give him just like 30 seconds of your time and see what he'll do for you? And I was like, all right, 30 seconds. I was like, it's not that long. So he's like, I was like, all right, well, I was like, whatever, I'll think about it. So I was jogging. And I was jogging harder and harder and harder, and I just kept running. And finally, it was like something just dinged in my head, and I was like, I just dropped to my knees right on the track, and I was like, I'm sorry. And I just started bawling like a blubbering baby. And like, if anybody knows me on a personal level, I never cry. Like, I try too much to be a hard body for it. And I was sitting there, I was just bawling my eyes out. And I just started apologizing for everything that I've ever done in my life that I did not think was for the glory of the kingdom of God. And at that moment in my head, something sparked. And I was just like, there's a church looking for me. And I was like, I remember I took a day to think about it. And I remember I called my mom while I was getting gas at Chevron. And I was like, you need to pray for me. And she's like, why? I was like, I have like this intense feeling in me that there's a church looking for me. I'm looking for that church. And if I do things in my way, we're never going to cross paths. Because I was like, I am the grandiose grandmaster of screwing things up in God's hand, like screwing everything up that he has planned for me. And so I was like, all right, you know, I was like, she said, all right, she did the great mom thing, the I'll pray for you, Frankie, the don't worry, baby, I got you. I'm the mama. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I drove back up to Portland to take care of my grandma, and I was sitting in my grandma's house and just doing a whole bunch of nothing, and I started thinking, I was like, I had one of those relapse moments where in my head I was like, you know, I've been doing this thing for God for like 6 to 8 hours now, something like that. And so far, I do not see any perks. I was like, I don't have, I was like, I'm not getting offered some great medical insurance along with like some great 401k with an investment plan, you know? And I'm like, forget it. Forget you. I made more money in 1 month than I'll make in a year doing your plan, you know? And right then, Val called me. And my phone rang, and I was like, I wasn't going to pick it up at first. And then my grandma was like, your phone's vibrating. And I was like, wow, she heard that. Sorry. But I look over at the table, and I see Pastor Val on my screen. I'm like, I was like, I should pick that up. So I picked it up. I'm like, hey, Val. He was like, hey, how you doing, man? I was like, good. And we just talked. You know, we just talked about, told him this story and everything like that. I got a cut on my thumb. But I talked to him, and I was just kind of laying it out there for him, just telling him about what's been going on lately and everything. And it's weird because I'd asked God, hey, man, do you think you could show me the church that I'm supposed to be at? And I mean, like, I was here for, like, 5 years, and then I kind of went and did my own thing, you know? And I was like, didn't think anything of it. And then we started talking a little bit, and, like, he was telling me about how he had a Sunday open. And he told me, he's like, hey, he's like, I like listening to you. And I was like, well, that makes one of us, you know? I was like, geez. And so he's like, you should talk about that. And I was like, yeah. I was like, just got to find the right audience for it. He's like, the 19th is open. Today's the 19th, right? Yeah. He's like, the 19th is open. And I was like, okay. I was like, let's do it. Do it to it. So he's like, all right. He's like, I'm not going to tell anybody or anything. He's like, it's all on you. I was like, okay. Scariest thought in the world to trust me like that. So I was like, all right, so I called my dad, called my mom, and I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm preaching. And the typical response would be, yay, good job, Frankie. So I got from my dad. From my mom, I go, and I'm like, is it going to be that bad? I was like, did you get the memo that I didn't get? Did I miss that text message and everything? And so in between the I got my mom on the phone. She's like, that's really, really strange, Frankie. I was like, why? And I was like, because we were praying about me finding a church. And she's like, I had a dream that you and Val were talking up in front of the congregation together and everything. And I was like, that right there scared me off. Because I am not going to lie. If you're a dude, I don't care if you're Yao Ming built like Shaq, I'm not scared of you. Like, I really don't have any inhibitions for anything. I will jump off anything. I will do anything to myself to gain a little bit of notoriety. But this unseen thing called God scared the living poop out of me. And so I was like, okay, I was like, no, this is too much. I was like, all right, this is too much, way too much, dude. So I sat down and I called my buddy Austin because she's like my level. Like, she's the one that holds me down no matter what. Like, if I'm doing something stupid, she'll tap my tail and tell me, hey, you need to get in line. And I was like, all right. So I called her and she's like, that's amazing, Frankie. You need to, like, take this chance and run with it. And I was like, okay, whatever. So I ran with it. And I ran with it strong for, like, I was on, like, Wednesday, Thursday-ish, probably till Friday morning. And then Friday morning, someone clicked to me and said, no. What, are you kidding me? Like, you got an entire week to prepare a sermon. Friday and Saturday, those are your party nights. Go out and party with your friends, you know? And I was like, okay. So I went out and partied and just did a whole bunch of nothing that was productive. At the time, it seemed productive. But sat there and I was just like, it was, I think, Monday. Started seriously thinking about this sermon. Like I admire you guys, like the pastors in here and everything, because I sat at that computer for probably like 3 eternities, and the only thing I could write was sermon, space, my name, you know. And then I sat there and I probably Googled about 85 bajillion things trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about. I spent like 3 hours on YouTube. Okay, like 35 seconds of that was actually for the sermon. But like, the rest was watching LeBron James get slam dunked on. It was classical. And I sat there and I was like, I really don't have anything to preach on. I had like 4 or 5 ideas. I had this idea, surfing. And like surfers and shoebies Christians. And I was like, that's one. Then I started thinking about the community needs us. Da 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 da. This is what, hi Andrea. But I was like, okay. And then I started thinking, well, maybe I could do this, or I could do this, or I could do this. And then I even did this thing. I was like, speak to me. And naturally, I got a blank page. But I was like, God, I do not know what to talk about, man. And finally, it hit me this morning. Well, actually, it hit me yesterday while I was surfing. This song about, like, I need to be more like you, man. And, like, my dad told me about, like, Romans 12. Maybe. Yeah, Romans 12:2, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing power of God. And I was like, maybe that verse is like my home verse. Maybe that's like, all right, Frankie, it's time to make a change, you know? So I was like, all right, dude, I'll make that change. But I was like, you have to promise that you're going to be there with me. And so I'm the worst person when it comes to faith. Like, I will make deals with God for everything and try to barter with him. Like, I'm like, if you let the Blazers win this game, I won't eat Taco Bell for 3 weeks. You know, even if they give me the free Chalupa coupon because they score over 100. I was like, I will not utilize it for 3 weeks. I swear. And I usually break my resolve after about 38 minutes. And as soon as I see that final score, it's Taco Bell time, celebrate. But I sat there and I was just like, You know? I was like, surfing's a lot like Christianity. You paddle out there and you have faith that like a bajillion miles away near Guam or like Tahiti or something like that, there's going to be a little breeze that's going to build that wave coming towards you. Because the ocean doesn't move. I found this out on demand, National Geographic Channel. It's pretty intense. And it told me that it's the energy moving through the water. That it's just an illusion. The water just goes up and down, and that's what creates the surf. And when the water hits the break on the shelf and everything, that's what gets you that swell. And I was sitting there, and I was like, I can surf. I have faith in the ocean that it's going to give me a nice wave. Like yesterday, I sat there for 2 hours, and I finally caught my one wave. And I was like, I can sit there for 2 hours in an ocean, which is vast and immense and just ridiculously cool, kind of like God. But I can't hold resolve for God for more than 38 minutes. And I was like, all right, man. I was like, let's see where this goes with me. And so I started thinking about it a little bit. And I caught, okay, I folded this up so I got to figure out which one I'm using. Yeah, it was this one today. And my dad, I called him on the way I was driving up here from Salem today, and I was like, Dad, I was like, I don't have a sermon. And he's just doing the typical good parent thing. It'll come to you, Frankie. No, it didn't come to me, really. And so I was sitting there, and I was like, all right. I was like, he handed me a bunch of papers with a bunch of verses on it. And all but one are sitting in the garbage can back there. Sorry, nothing personal. But I was flipping through there, and I was just like, all right, God, I'm going to ride your wave now. I was like, it's just like in surfing. You don't drive a wave. You don't control that wave. You ride a wave. You can steer your board where you want to go with it, but at the end of the day, you're at the mercy of that wave because it could break short, and you could eat a mouthful of seawater like I did yesterday and have a, yeah, we'll just go stop there. But So I was sitting there, and I was just like, you know, it's like the same thing with Christianity. Like, you can steer your lives. We have free will. But at the end of the day, we're at the mercy of God. And God's our wave. He keeps us moving, and we have to paddle out and trust that he's going to provide for us. You know, and it says in Proverbs 3:5-6, like, I don't know how I found this verse, But I think this is that whole providing for me thing. He just kind of kicked me a verse when I needed it. And it said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And I was like, I was like, that's pretty accurate for what I'm feeling right now, man. I was like, did you check my status on Facebook or something like that? I was like, we got good connection rate. And so I was sitting there thinking about it and everything and trying to meander around enough so I can figure out how to close this thing up because I'm pretty sure I've ran my course. But I was sitting there and I thought it was actually sitting back there. John ran to the store to get me a bottle of water, which, might I say, perfect choice because I had horrible cotton mouth right now. And I noticed something. It was like, this Sunday is like the change I needed in my life. It's like the perfect time to catch God's wave and just start riding it now, you know? Like that, the last set of songs we sang about like coming back to the heart of worship, you're so beautiful, you know, shine, Jesus, shine, all this stuff, and like mighty to save. I was like, wow, I was like, this really kind of hit home today, you know? I was like, this is the perfect Sunday to talk about this stuff. And so then I noticed, I was like, all right, God, you know, maybe Richmond's where I'm supposed to be at. You know, like, maybe Val reaching out to me, maybe, like, I don't know if it was a coincidence that Val came to Vegas with Lisa and Lenny and CJ and everything like that, but we had some good times hanging out with them and everything. And it's weird because, like, I went to the Army, and I went and did MEPS, which is, like, the processing center where it's the get 18 physicals, pee in a cup, do a whole bunch of tests that really determine nothing for the Army except for you're not going to die in basic training. And first time I went there, you have to do a UA. And my sergeant had told me, do not drink water. Biggest mistake of my life. I didn't drink water for like a day leading up to that. I barely drank anything but eating ice chips, basically. And just, you know, it says in the Bible, like, the Lord will help you when you help yourself. I should have helped myself to that first glass of water because I had to fly back from Salt Lake City to Las Vegas and in the process tell my sergeant, hey, man, for lack of better terms, I couldn't pee. You know, like, not that I'm shy because I'm the farthest thing from it, but I was like, I couldn't pee, man. And so I was having a horrible day. Like, I remember I called my mom. I'm like, I'm not doing this Army thing anymore. This is bogus. This is poop. Like, I'm not going to do this. Got on the plane and everything. Met an amazing girl on the plane. We're not going to go in. She was pretty cool. She was pretty chill. And, like, I was having a horrible day when my sergeant picked me up. He dropped me off. And I was just like, remember, I called John. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm hanging out with Val and everybody. And I'm like, okay. So we went. And they're like, well, we're at this casino, da-da-da-da-da, looking at something like, I think it was a Miracle Mile or something like that. And I was like, okay. I was like, the strip. Yay. But it was Val and everything, so I wanted to go hang out with him. And so I go over there and I get the news, oh, dude, we're on the move. We're going to find some food. I'm like, okay, where are we going? So we went to this little spot. I don't even, do you remember its name? Anywhere? I don't even know what kind of food it was. Filipino food. It was amazing. They have this top ramen dish that's a die for. I don't really think it's top ramen, but it's like, it reminded me of Top Ramen. And so I was like, it was just kind of weird because like I ran into Val and everything like that, and I was just like, I was having the worst day ever, and then I got like one of the biggest pick-me-ups ever is just hanging out with them. And that was the last day they were there. Like, they got on their plane, and they flew back home and everything. And that was kind of the start of my thinking about, like, you know, I was like, maybe Val's here for a reason. You know, I was like, maybe he's more than the quirky, funny guy that wears shorts and everything like that. And I was like, maybe he's trying to steer me in the right direction. And maybe God's using him to steer me in the right direction. And so, long story short, I'm glad to be back. I'm not sure where we went with this sermon, honestly, except for we talked about surfing, Las Vegas, the Army. I puked. And a couple other things. I'm not sure where we went with it. But I just want to say I'm glad to be back. And like one thing that I cannot stress enough is this man right here deserves the utmost respect and everything. Because unlike me, who I paddle out, I get sick of waiting for a wave, I come back and throw my board in the car and I drive away. No pun intended, he is from an island. But like he sits in the ocean all day long and just waits for that one wave. And when it comes, he rides it without turning back or anything like that. And I just want to thank Val for being there and being the amazing man that he is. And just straight up, like, that, me, I don't know what I am yet. I'm still in the process of determining that. I'm a boy, but I mean, like, yeah, that makes for that awkward silence. But, like, Val is truly a man of God. And I think I'm just going to wrap it up by telling you guys that he's the best.